Podcasting 2.0 for September 1st, 2023, episode 144. We got velocity. Oh, it's good to be back. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the only boardroom that welcomes live music at the table. It is Podcasting 2.0. That's right. Everything happening with podcasting, real podcasting. You know what I mean? Podcasting, not YouTubing, podcasting. Everything happening with the podcast namespace, all that's going on at podcastindex.org, and we do have stuff going on there. And, of course, all the latest gossip from podcastindex.social. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country and in Alabama, the man who's counting to 100 just for you. Say hello to my friend on the other end, the one and only Mr. Dave Jones.
Does this qualify as season two? I mean, we were on such a long hiatus. I feel like we should have rebranded as season two.
Season two. I don't know. Does that work in any podcast apps, that season stuff?
No, I doubt it.
I doubt it. Probably yeah. Not. No. Probably not. Dave.
I mean, album art didn't even work in Apple until a week ago.
Until recently. Yeah, that's true. Dave, I missed you.
Oh, crap. I just draw my clipboard.
I understand you miss me, too, but you don't have to go throwing stuff around. It's okay. It's all right, man. I love you regardless. Well, it's all fine.
I'm glad to hear that you miss me because, you know, you seem to be doing every podcast but this one. I started to feel a little left out.
I know. Oh, actually, I miscalculated the days.
You even threw in a MoFax. Well, before we did one of these.
Yeah, okay. All right.
And that show's not even going anymore.
Yeah, it is. It has seven more episodes before it's over. But okay. It was actually really important. MoFax was very important. Have you listened to it? I'm sure you haven't listened to it.
No, I have not listened to it yet. It's on my player.
It was very serendipitous in with what we're doing with Value for Value Music. Where do you want to start, my dear? By the way, hello, boardroom. Hello, everybody. Good to see everybody in the chat room. We are live and lit. You should be using an app that I just read. What did I just retweet? I think Podcast Guru, Podcast Addict, Pod Fans, Pod Friend, lots of pods. Of course, Podverse, Fountain, CurioCaster. Everything kind of works now with live and lit. Not everything does value time split, or as I call it, the wallet switching technology.
I like this wallet switching technology. And you throw technology on the end of it. It makes it sound like there's this team.
It's important.
Yeah, yeah.
There is a team. It's a huge team. We've got this massive team.
But no, but when you actually do it, it's just you and Splitkit. Basically, it's just you two in the room together.
All right, my heart is just so full of the music Value for Value. Can we just talk about that for a moment?
Yes, I will save my. I will save my long story about the,
Give us a tease. Come on. What do you got to lose?
I was sent a Rodecaster.
What? You were sent one? By Rode?
No. Oh. Yeah, Rode. Yeah. Yeah. They're like, have you heard of Dave Jones? We really need to get him to do a review.
I would have been mad.
I know you would have been pissed. No, I got sent a Rodecaster, but I'm not using it. And the story of how that came to be is worth telling. So,
Well, why don't you do that first? First of all, who sent you? Who was the kind person to send the Pod Sage a Rodecaster?
Well, one of the fun elements of this story is that, two people tried to send me one at the same time.
Oh my gosh.
It became a who can send Dave a Rodecaster first competition.
That's fantastic.
No, Sam Sethi offered over email to send me a Rodecaster. He said, I've got one and I'm not using it.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So he's going to send me a Rodecaster Pro. And I was like, well, that's great.
A Pro or a Pro 2? That's a very important distinction.
I don't remember.
If it's a Pro, send it back.
Send the free gift guys. Yes. Yes. So it may have been a Pro. I don't remember. He said it was left over from his radio station.
Okay. Well, there's Pro and there's Pro 2, and you want the Pro 2. But okay. Sam's a beautiful man for doing that. Any other person?
And I said, let me at least pay shipping. I mean, it's an expensive, gift and everything. Well, then Kevin Finn from Buzzsprout texts me. One like a day after Sam sent that email and says, hey, what's your shipping address? I'm going to send you something. What? But he never told me what it was. So, so then 2 days later, a Rodecaster Pro Duo shows up on the front porch.
Oh, wow. That's the one you want.
Yeah, I got the little, it's the one you wanted me to get.
Yes, that's the one you want. That is, and I tested it on the road. That is it's fantastic. It's exactly what you want. In fact, if it had come out before I got the Rodecaster 2, I probably would have gotten that one.
Well, the fantastic part is, let's leave that in quotes for right now.
Okay.
Not in use. So I want to do this review of this thing in two parts. First, shipping. Right. 5 stars.
Oh, it came Road, or it came from Kevin.
Kevin ordered it from like BH Video.
Oh yeah, B&H. Sure, of course.
Shipping 5 stars. Got here. Awesome. Operation. Now the operational review is going to take the form of a short story.
Let's do it.
So I unboxed this about a week after I got it, and I'm like, okay, I need to check this thing out and make sure it works and everything. I fire it up. It's great. Like, immediately I can see how great this thing is.
Mm-hmm.
Spent some time with it, playing around. It's got the touch screen.
Did you take it out to dinner? It's important.
I poured it a drink, but yeah. So it was great. The preamps are dynamite.
That's what they're famous for. Yeah.
Fantastic. So I'm playing around with this thing. I'm getting a hang of how it works. So much so that it was so easy to get into and set up and use that I was like, okay, I just took down my old setup. I removed all the cords, everything. So I set my whole rig up, my whole workstation up with the Rodecaster Duo.
Right.
And I'm like, great. All right. So then I'm like, I know we don't have a podcast for another 2 weeks. So I'm like, okay, well,
I'm going to experiment.
Well, I was like, well, I'll just come back to this later. So last night I come here to get back up and running and just make sure I know how to use this thing. Cause I was going to spring it on you. I wanted it to be a surprise for the show.
Oh, okay. Yeah. How nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dave got new gear. And so, me and Marigold are, we're laughing at ourselves with the funny pitch shifting voice technology.
This is your daughter. This is your daughter. Yeah.
Yeah. That's right. My 13-year-old, and generally having a riotous time. And, so I go in there, everything's working great. I go in, I rename the default profile from default to podcasting 2.0.
Right. And then you hit export.
And then the export button was grayed out.
Because you didn't have an SD card in it.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. Okay. So I don't have an SD card.
Yeah.
So I rename it to podcasting 2.0 and I exit that screen. UI froze.
Oh, wow.
The user interface is just completely froze up. So I'm like, okay, this is weird.
Hit the button on the back.
Hold the button down on the back. Yeah. I hit the button on the back. Nothing. I hold the button down on the back for 10 seconds. Nothing.
Pull the plug.
Hold it down for 30 seconds. Nothing.
Oh, no.
There's clearly no hardware interrupts on this thing.
Right.
So this is all software.
No, there's not. Yeah.
So I go I pull the power. You know, rule one, all software sucks and is full of bugs. So I pull the power. No sweat. Plug it back in. 25% progress bar for 30 minutes on the boot up.
Oh, no.
I'm like,
it bricked.
I'm like, uh-oh, what's happening here? I pull the power again, plug it back in, same thing. I'm like, okay. Well, so
can
now
ask,
I'm pulling
can
all
can
the
ask
cords
your question?
Loose.
Important question.
Yes, yes, yes.
When you got the machine, one of the first things, I think it says in the instructions, is to connect it
don't
to
Wi-Fi.
Don't use it. It's connected to Wi-Fi and then see if there's an update.
Yeah, so I did better than that. I plugged it into Ethernet.
And you checked for an update.
Immediately plugged it into Ethernet. It said firmware update. I said go. It updated itself, rebooted. Everything was great.
Okay.
That happened day one. And so, I pull all the cords out. You know, I'm going to get this thing down. I'm going full like A1 you know, A plus computer certified technician.
Oh yeah,
you
know, no, I've
troubleshooter.
And now, are you sweating a little bit at this point? Are you just? Yes. You mad? Okay, it's a little bit of sweat. Yeah, okay,
a little aggravation.
A little bit. Yeah.
If there had been a floppy cable in there, I would have been checking the orientation of the twisted put section of it. So I pull everything off, plug it back, pull everything out, plug the power cord back in, hit the power button. Same thing, but this time I get to like 90% on the progress bar.
Ooh, a little different. All right. Like, you felt better. You felt better. How long did you wait at 90%?
20 minutes. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no, this is wrong. So I pull the power again, plug it back in. I'm just doing the same thing over and over like a monkey at this point.
Right.
Hit the power button. Now it comes up all the way to like 99% on the progress bar, and I get the Christmas tree.
Oh, you're feeling good. You're feeling good at this point. You're feeling good. Yes. You're feeling good.
I'm like, this is great. I'm almost there. All I have to do is reboot 7 or 8 more times and I'm gold. So I do it again.
Boot!
I do it again. And this time it comes up and I get an interface. Wow. I get a UI. I'm like, okay, this is progressive rebooting. I'm not sure I understand this technology, but this is evidently
it's a feature. It's a feature. Obviously, it's a feature.
Yeah. And so, so I get an interface, and I'm like, okay, this is working. Sliders are working. And then I hit the gear icon. I'm going to go try to see if I can force it to find a firmware update. I hit the gear icon.
Freeze.
UI froze.
Freeze. Yeah.
So now I'm Googling. I'm like, okay, what is this? This a known issue or whatever?
And I would say that the Rode website itself sucks. It really does. The way they've set that up and everything, they've chaptered it and put it into sections. It sucks. Just give me one big page with everything. But no, okay, yeah.
And the placeholders on the page that you jump back and forth with don't always land in the right spot.
Yeah, okay. It's no good.
Is no good. So. I start Googling to try to find solutions to this, and I run into this dude called the Rodecaster Master.
Ooh, did you get his number?
I got his YouTube channel. It's even better.
The Rodecaster Master.
This guy is fantastic. Mm. I mean, I love this guy. The Rodecaster Master is a special person. He can take like a 30-second how-to and turn it into at least 15 minutes of content. You want a little sample of the Rodecaster Master?
Do you? I was just looking him up. You have a sample. Okay.
I'm strapped.
All right. Let me play a little bit of the. Here is clip one, the Rodecaster Master.
The Rodecaster Pro. Two, let's go.
All right, fire. I'm liking this guy. All right.
I know he's great. I mean, he needs the horn, though. That's the only thing he's missing.
Yeah,
the
horn. And that's actually, it's actually built into the thing. I can't believe that he didn't already use it. Let's try that again. Let's just try him again.
The Rodecaster Pro. Two, let's go.
I'm feeling good now.
Yeah, right. So I'm like, okay, this guy's going to solve my problem. He's going to show me how to reset the Rodecaster Pro. Well, of course, nothing. The Duo is so new that nobody really has anything on it. It's all Pro 2 stuff. Mm. This guy's like the recipe blog of YouTubers.
I like his little icon, his little Roman helmet icon.
It doesn't make any sense.
He has 98 views, of which 97 are yours.
that's all my F5s. So then he goes at one point into he's going to show you how to, and he goes to the TRS 4000 Skycam.
Right on.
Which is a
Skycam.
Clip two,
yeah.
Yes.
I'm putting this guy in the show notes. All right. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Hit clip two.
Oh, sorry. Here we go.
In the comments, someone asked the same question. So since they asked the same question, I'm like, hey, man, these are two comments that I just read and an email that I just read. You know what? I'm getting on and we're going to talk about it. You understand what I'm saying? So I'm going to break it down so it'll forever be broke. So now what we're going to do is we're going to transition to the TRS 4000. That's a technologically advanced Skycam. It's out of space right now. It's going to zoom in.
Yeah. All right. So he zooms in.
Yes, he zooms in and shows hitting the gear icon on the screen, of which I can't get to.
Right.
So this guy is ultimately worthless. He was entertaining for 10 minutes, but he was ultimately worthless to me. Yes. I move past the Rodecaster master, and I now try the Rode Central software. Do you, have you used this?
Oh yeah. The Rode, did you have the right version? Because if you don't have the right version, it's not going to do anything for you.
I don't know what version I had. Every video tutorial I could find that tries to show you how to force a firmware flash, none of these work, because this thing only boots to a UI 2 out of 10 times. And wow. So then after that, you get about 15 seconds and you're frozen. The overall verdict for usability of the Rodecaster Duo is 0 stars. Because I cannot actually get it to function.
You know, I've heard a lot of these issues when people don't have the SD card, which I think, I mean, come on, Rode, what does it cost? Seriously, throw a little SD card in there, because that's where it's getting mixed up.
So you're saying that it's possible that because I don't have an SD card, that could be the source of all these problems.
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. Here's something you could try. Okay. I am the Rodecaster Duo master. Fire, 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 fire. You can use one of those two interfaces to connect a drive. So if you have an external drive and you plug it into, I think it's number 2, the second. Okay. Yeah. That might trick it into thinking, oh, I have some storage. I think it's looking for storage. And when you tried to export your profile by renaming it, maybe just renaming it. And somehow I think it's in the default startup loop where it's looking for the default profile and it can't find storage. Maybe if we trick it into thinking that there is external storage, because you can use the SD card or you can use the second USB interface as a storage connection.
Okay. So I need a micro SD card and a USB-C flash drive is what I need.
Well, if you have a micro SD card, then that should do it. But if you don't, in a pinch, just grab one of those external USB hard drives you have laying around. We know you've got one with the blockchain on it.
it's not being used. Yes, it's available.
Yeah, grab one of those and try that. Oh, that's too bad. That is a bad experience.
Well, it is beautiful to look at. It's a gorgeous piece. It's a gorgeous piece of tech. I mean, I've actually got an ISO from the Rodecaster Master. It's a beautiful piece of technology.
Yeah, of course we want that.
That is a beautiful piece of technology.
So that's my Rodecaster story,
That is the end of show ISO, no doubt.
That is a beautiful piece of technology. That is a beautiful piece of technology.
Come on, come on, come on, come on.
Gee.
Yeah.
This guy is amazing. I love him.
He's great.
But I love you, Kevin. Thank you so much. And I will get this. Somehow I will work with Rode support or something to get this working. And it will return to the show in functioning order.
No, I'm excited. I'm excited. I'm excited because, you know.
I am too.
And then you'll have sound pads you can hit and do all kinds of cool stuff with.
Yeah, and annoy you to death.
Uh-huh. No. You don't annoy me at all. I missed you. I'm of all the people. Of all the people I do podcasts with, I missed you the most.
Yeah, because I'm the only one you didn't do a podcast with.
I know. That's why I missed you. We were supposed to do it last Friday, but I had miscalculated, and we were traveling on Friday.
Oh.
And I really had miscalculated the hours. And we also had an hour and a half delay. And then we had, because I was going to try and slip one in, as I said, when we landed at Schiphol Airport. And, you know, I had the hotel right there at the airport. Everything was good to go. It should have worked out. So we landed an hour and a half late, and then one suitcase didn't show up. And that took 2.5 hours.
Duh,
yeah, that sucked. So I'm sorry.
But you're rested and relaxed. I mean, it was a good trip.
I'm not rested and relaxed at all. No, it was a due vacation. We're traveling. Yeah. We're going from Holland to Spain. I'm meeting people who are dying. You know, my friends who are in their late 70s and 80s. Like, I just want to make sure I try and see you once every 1 or 2 years before you go, old man. You
know? Oh, no.
No, I mean, none of the, only one, the guy I grew up with, he grew up in the hood with me. He's dying, so that, but you know, so I spent a couple days with him, and he who knows, you know, he may miraculously make it. I mean, you never know. He didn't look like it. And he's also, it's like, I'm like, yo, talk about you on the show, man. He's like, how long is that podcast? 3 hours. That's too long. I can't listen to that. I'm like, wow.
I don't have time. I don't have much time.
I have no time left. But the older people, like my first radio boss, Lex Harding, had dinner with him. And then actually on the Friday night that got all messed up, I was having dinner with kind of a pseudo dad for me when I was in 15, and I started out with illegal CB radio in Holland, and there was a real community, and he was in there, and he kind of took me under his wing, and so I know him and his wife and his kids almost like my age, and you know, he's like this old sailor guy who lives on a houseboat, and it's just a cool, I hadn't seen him in 30 years.
Like Moby Dick.
Yeah. Very much a Moby Dick kind of guy. So anyway, we're here now, and the one thing I did do when I was in Italy, and I did another one on Monday, is the Boostergram ball, and my heart is so full of excitement for what is happening here, and the fact that we now have, I think, 6 value for value music podcasts, and I have no idea how anyone figured this stuff out. There's no tutorials. It's worse than the Roadcaster Duo. There's no way to understand how to do it yet. People like Dirty Jersey Whore, Mike Newman. I mean, people are doing it.
The Dorfuls.
Yeah. TJ the Wrathful, which, you know, there's 10 brothers and they all make music. It's the Von Trapp value for value family singers. It's crazy.
This is nuts.
Yeah. So.
And they're doing it self-hosted too. They're not even going through Wavelake. Yeah.
So a lot of things happened. I had a lot of reflection on what's going on, and just by doing the Boostergram ball, I need to get a couple of things off my chest.
Okay.
I suddenly realized repetition creates hits. Now I know this sounds duh, and I know inherently that, you know, when you're in, and radio, you know, I should probably step back one thing here. So I've done a lot of radio in my life, and radio, yeah, you have decades of back catalogs. So there's a lot of music, but really the current playlist of songs across the spectrum is limited. I mean, it's maybe 100 songs tops that people are pulling from it. I was talking to Mo. He says urban radio, they're playing 10 songs now. This is 10 songs. That's all that they're playing.
Just max. It's a 10 song rotation.
Pretty much. All about hoes and money and drugs and killing each other. Oh, that's not very positive. So of course, when you're playing the same songs on every station over and over again, and this is across the board. I mean, even the different formats of radio, it's all still pretty limited. Just go look at it. It's all based on the charts. You know, the charts kind of reflect what is available. Mm-hmm. And if you're hearing the same song, you know, 3 times a day, it sticks in your head. I mean, it has to be a really crap, and even a really crap song will stick in your head. And so,
those are the ones that stick in your head more than anything.
So I'm waking up on vacation and I'm singing these songs that I've been playing on Boostergram Ball. My wife is singing the song. She's playing like, I gotta hear TJ's song again. What?
Don't forget me.
Yes.
That's been in my head for days.
And Bobby Shell, and just all, and it's like, holy crap, with a very limited amount of exposure, it's happening. It's really happening. So this just blows my mind. And then I was actually talking with Mo. And we did a show, episode number 3 of Mo Facts with Adam Curry. And this is something he's been preparing for a long time. In fact, it's been so long in preparation that it's a 2-parter. So we only did like 3 hours and 17 minutes, which is short for a MoFax, but it's a two-parter. And it's the history of hip-hop. And and at a certain point, so Mo says, you know, what you're doing with Boost the Grand Ball, what's happening with Podcasting 2.0, Value for Value Music, is, he says, it's so perfect for this episode. Because he talks about resonance and how, what he brought up, he said, you know, Oliver Anthony. Oliver Anthony, not a record, not a music industry guy, gets a song out somehow and it resonates. It resonates with a large section of people. Not with Mo necessarily, resonated with me, might have resonated with you. There's something about it. And of course, this is why immediately you get all this horrible information about him. Oh, he's QAnon. He's horrible. He's no good. He's a shill. He's, you know, it's because the music business, and this is where we're going to go in part two with Mo Fax, is how hip hop specifically became corporately controlled because the message that was being put out. I mean, I always knew that hip hop was kind of the CNN for the hood in the early days. That will not stand. So just as the podcast industrial complex controls and desperately wants to control what is allowed to be distributed on podcast apps, the music industry has been doing this for a long time, all the way back to Sam Cooke, who, and this is all in that Mo Fax, who, you know, they made him change lyrics because he was talking about, you know, a change is going to come and things that were just a little bit, you know, might get some of those black folk all riled up. We can't have that, Sam Cooke.
I'm still in the middle of reading the book called A Question of Sedition, the government's investigation of the black press during World War II.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic book. They were... The government has always been, the United States government has always been very afraid of the, of black media, black entertainment, black news. They have always wanted to keep a lid on it.
And all of this came from the church. It all came from the preachers who were hooping, you know, which was, it's a very rhythmic, type of preaching. And that literally, you know, when you go through this episode with Mo, that really is the origins of hip hop. And so then they went after the preachers, you know, and then they stuck the name Reverend in front of the, in front of him. And then he's like, oh, no. And the reverends, look at Reverend Al Sharpton. There's a lot of reverend out there who are not necessarily, doing things for their community. They are doing things for the government, for banks, for all, you know, they're controllers. So realizing this, I'm like, oh my God, this value for value music to me now is as important as what we've done with podcasting to make it open and available and censorship resistant. And you know, we're building something outside of the podcast industrial complex. And so now every song. And there's something else that happened, of course. We tried this in 2006, 2007. It was called the podcast, the Podsafe Music Network. And the Podsafe Music Network was a website. You could upload your music if you owned it. And with that, you signed a separate license. And the license was very simple. You give any podcaster who's a member of the network the permission to play the song on their podcast. And what they had to do was put your information and a link in their show notes and report on the system that they had played it when they played it. There was no money changing hands. And it was quite successful. A lot of people were really into it and there was a vibe going on and some musicians started to get some traction, but there was no value. There was no way for the value to change hands. So that part is covered with value for value. We have value, and with the value time splits, or once again, wallet switching technology. That works. When you say that to an artist, wallet switching technology. Oh, okay. I understand what you're saying. Oh, yeah, I get that. You're switching to my wallet. Okay, I get it.
It works on me. I like it.
And, you know, in 2007... we didn't have the same level of technology for musicians. I mean, now you get a Universal Audio device or some other, you know, interface. You get a USB mic, some headphones. You get some software. You can create any just as good as any other artist. Mm-hmm. You still need talent. You still need, you know, this. It's still creating music. It's not simple, but it's technology has made it. So this, its time has come. And I, so another problem, my experience from back then was, you know, it's not easy to create even a weekly show because, you know, well, how much is really available? Holy moly, the amount of music that has become available. In fact, I have a monthly boardroom report from Ron Plouffe. Ron's over there in the corner. He always brings his PowerPoint to the board meeting.
Third cousin once removed from David Plouffe, the Obama advisor.
Yes. Different spelling, but yes. Yeah. Feeds with medium music rose 40% in the last month. 824. Putting that into perspective, according to our statistician, Ron, we added 234 feeds in August compared to only 90 in July. So this is accelerating. Feeds with value blocks saw a corresponding bump, adding 776 to finish at almost 15,000. Prior to August, it took 2.5 months to get that many feeds. So the snowball effect is fantastic because what you now have is you've got artists going out there talking on podcasts where their music is played and it's put into the wall of switching technology and other artists hear it and everyone's talking. It's like, what? So cool. In fact, that I get a call from Jeff Smith. Yes, sir.
Ah, sir
Jeff Smith.
Sir Jeff Smith, yes.
Now
yes.
Jeff Smith has been in my life since almost the beginning of Daily Source Code, early days of podcasting, and he kind of appeared. And Jeff Smith, he's a Nashville guy. Jeff Smith wakes up in the morning and says, oh, I think I'll write a hit. And he can do that. He's done Crazy Pianos. That's been his main source of income, although he's played on lots of records you'd probably know. But he's a working musician. And then when things get slow, then he goes back to doing, you know, Crazy Pianos. If you don't know what that is, it's a bar. There's many of them around the country, but around the world, I would say. You go in, there's usually two pianists, and their pianos are back to back, and they'll take requests from the audience, and they can just play it.
Those people are amazing.
They are, but then they can play funny versions. And I where I met Jeff was in Nashville, probably. I'm trying to think now. It was early on, Hot Pockets, probably 2007 or 8. I don't know. And we did it was a No Agenda meetup. So it must've been 2008. One of the early No Agenda meetups. And all of a sudden he's playing like No Agenda songs that he had just made up.
Is he the origin of the No Agenda jingle? I mean, like, is he, or at least towards the beginning?
What do you mean?
Just the jingle, like, you know, the best part of waking up is, you know, kinds of jingles.
I don't know if he did that one. Honestly, it's so hard to know. Hold on a second. I have, this is something he did way back when. I'll just play a little bit of it. I should have put this in the split kit.
Kill up in the morning, hit the ground running, it's a media assassination. Pick up the pieces, tear them apart, set it on to every nation.
Here we go. So, you know,
that's him.
So Jeff Smith just wakes up and is like, oh, I'm just going to write this. And he did an acoustic version. Then I was like, Jeff, do some jingles. And he was just starting to do jingles and the funniest stuff. I mean, he's done so much, not just for me, but, you know, he'll do openers for anybody, for any podcast.
I know the one that he did the one, Build Back Better for someone else, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that's a great one. Yeah.
Well, that was during that was during COVID.
That shows some artistry because it's brief.
Here it is.
For a better life beyond your freedom, build back better for someone else.
But now,
yeah,
with value,
that's a genius right there. Yeah.
So now, with value for value, you know, I've been setting him up with people, and then he'll just do it for a split in the value block, and it's been very enjoyable for him. He's like, you know, Adam, I kind of dig this. This is I'm getting these sats. And anyway, so an unlikely source, comic strip blogger, who also knows Jeff from years and years ago, convinces him to upload some music to Wavelake.
No. Oh.
And so Jeff and I are talking and Jeff gets it. And he's like, oh man, he's going to get all, he's in Nashville, is in such a rut right now. Everybody's playing the same kind of songs. They're all playing on each other's records. And it's just boring. Mm. And so we start talking about how this will all work. And he just gets super, super, super pumped, as pumped as I am. And then, of course, said, well, you know, so how do we get all this work and how do we do it? I said, well, we have no tools. So here's the good news. We got no tools. We don't know how to do it. We've got we have no documentation. There's nothing.
I was going to ask you, Jeff.
Yeah. Jeff, make up some documentation. So one of the things that you and I have been talking about, because, you know, right now we have Wavelake. And Wavelake is fantastic as a pioneering start. Couple of issues. You can't do value splits. It's actually a huge issue, I think, for music, because we are here. We are going to circumvent the existing music industrial complex. That means circumventing the money flow, which goes into these dark organizations like ASCAP, BMI, SoundScan, publishing labels, and you always have to sue for your money. And you created it, and at the end of the day, you have no money. We want to circumvent that. We also, but then there's musicsideproject.com, which is, it's just harder. You know, freedom always requires that extra step. But musicians are better than podcasters. Musicians will beg, steal, borrow, sleep on girlfriends' floors. They'll do anything to get their music heard. It's just a fact. So what do I have to do? I have to learn how to code? Okay, I'll do it. Just tell me, just give me a notepad, whatever I have to do.
Yeah.
So they're starting to figure it out. One of the things that has been broken in the music industry is discovery. Discovery became an algo. And what used to be discovery was the DJ. And you would listen to your favorite DJ because he would play cool songs. And you would go, now I'm going to go way back, but you'd go to the sock hop. Why? Because he would bring the cool records that he would be spinning, or she, but it's mainly a male thing. And the DJ, the disc jockey, had a very mythical kind of special place in the music business, which obviously turned into, you know, like, hey, let me give you some hookers and blow and play my record. You know, so there was some issues there. But in general, DJs would break records. DJs were important, but it was still within this limited scope of, you know, how many radio stations do you have? So they were kind of the drunk guards at the gatekeeper's door. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah. And so they were a liability, really, for the gatekeepers. So we needed to replace them with music directors, playlists, automation. And now if you look at YouTube and Spotify, algorithms determine what is going. And again, it's just repetition.
NPR firms.
Yeah. And all kinds of gaming of the system.
Yep.
So you and I came up with this idea a while ago to create a top 100 for all of music podcasts, all the songs played on music podcasts. Wavelake can only do a top of what they're doing. And Wavelake is, you know, the way they're doing it is Ainsley Costello is going to be on top for the next 2 months because she's a breakout hit, you know, and even number two is still going to be number two for a long, long time. That's because it's based on number of sats, which
total sats earned.
Sats, which is a very easy to game system. Mm-hmm. So we thought, since we receive 1% from most apps, there's one or two that may not, but it's all voluntary. With that, it's nice to get the value, but the value is very small compared to the value of the information. So we know what podcast the track was played on, in theory, what podcast the track was played on, what podcast episode, what the amount was, and if there was a boost, if it was a boostergram, any message that was sent with it. Mm-hmm. So our thinking was, a true representation of popular is not how much, but how many. How many people have sent sats to this song? And with that comes a unique opportunity to enable people to drill into each entry in the top 100 and see messages, the boostergrams, but also what podcast was this song played on? So now you're jumping around. Now, like, oh, wait a minute. There's a podcast that played this song that I like. Let me go listen to that podcast. So now we're discovering podcasts and music, and it becomes its own thing. And so you and I talked about it, and you said, sure, a typical Dave. Like, yeah, that's great. I'll make that. Hasn't been that easy, has it, brother?
No.
I mean, I've already registered domain names. I'm writing copy. Dave's going like, hey, this is pretty messed up.
This is... The script that builds this chart is an epic amalgam of edge cases and guardrail code. It's basically podcast Jenga. I mean, this thing is nuts. Do you want to throw the URL out?
Well,
there
before we do that, I have a question, because tell me what I'm looking at. Tell me what I'm seeing. Cause what's not complete is the words at the top, but that's okay. We can change that. But
so you're looking at it right now then?
Yeah, I am looking at it right now.
Okay. Yeah, what you're seeing, so if you click on the title, you know, that takes you to, for right now, it takes you to the podcast index of that podcast.
Mm-hmm.
It's ranked, and you have the sat count as best we can determine. And then you have the author of the podcast, which in the case of a music medium podcast is the musician.
Okay. Two questions.
And one, the album art.
One. Yes. Is it ranked by number of Satoshis or by number of wallets?
Both.
Ooh.
So the way it is supposed to work is, let's see. So I'm trying to figure out how best to sort of lay this out. So the way it's working right now is it does a calculation of how many sats that were received divided by how many boosts.
Oh, so, number of boosts. So not number of wallets, by number of boosts.
So it's basically, it's the number of boosts, but the one with the greatest average. So if you're averaging high, if your average boost is high,
mm-hmm.
I'm taking that as a quality signal. Now, this is all... This is all very contingent and temporary.
Right.
This chart may change algos every 5 minutes as I work on this thing. So I did one run. I haven't done anything with it since this morning before I left for work. So what I did was I did a 90 day run to build the historical sats. Sat counts for all the music tracks.
Okay. All right. That now I understand the numbers a little bit. Yep.
But then I added a 7 day run that added to those numbers and to get it to be more current. So like there's a 90 day for historical purposes only, mm-hmm. but then it does but the run this morning was a 7 day run where it looked and said and grabbed the number, the average boost amount coming in for each show. It set that as the ranking, And then after it ran out of shows, so basically it ran, if there's only, let's just say if there's only 25 tracks that were boosted in the last 7 days, then it goes and fills out the rest of the chart with the historical data.
Okay. So it's not actually the number of diverse wallets, but it's the average boost by number of boosters and sats per boost.
Yes.
Still scammable, yes. But much harder to do.
I would think it seems like it would take more. You would have to spend more to game it. Which it doesn't help a lot, but
but it's not by different wallets. So I could boost a gram 100 times with one wallet.
Right now, that's true. Yes.
Okay.
The reason that I'm trying to head towards the algo that you described.
Mm-hmm.
It's been so difficult just to get the basic numbers to
what
be legit.
What are the problems? What have our app developers done to you? show me on the app where the app developer hurt you.
where to start? I think I have in my clips. I think I sent you a JPEG. Of a live,
oh yes, oh yeah,
of
oh,
a
yeah.
live
yeah.
boost.
Let me take a look. Let me take a look at this JPEG.
Okay.
Hold on. Opening.
So this JPEG is of
Dreb
this
Scott.
Is what I see.
Mm-hmm.
Dreb Scott boosted a song on Boostergram Ball episode 5 live. So this is a boost that came in during the live episode,
which is where a lot of sats flow. To be honest, a lot of it comes in on the live show.
Tons. Now, what do you not? This is what these look like. This is coming from CurioCaster.
Well, I know what I don't see.
What do you not see?
I don't. Well, just because of the message, I know what this was boosting, but I don't know the remote item.
Right, but there's. It's even worse than that. What else? I mean, like the remote item, and that's a whole nother discussion, but the lack of remote item, I was able to work around that.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, by getting the value time split data from the feed?
Yes. Yeah. Now you know why it takes 30 minutes to do a 7-day run.
And of course the feed changes and GUIDs change. It's a mess.
There's two other critical pieces of information that are missing from this TLV record that you're looking at. One is the episode GUID.
Oh.
Because there's not one.
There's not a to be fair.
But there's not a GUID to be had. I mean, the live item can have a GUID, but the live item is ephemeral, so it's going to go away. The only way to track what happened for me to go back and calculate this after the fact, it would have to be the live item would have to be have a GUID, and that GUID would have to persist into the published episode as the same GUID so that I could go back and know what is what. So I could know that they match.
Oh, okay. Is there anything that can be done with the TLV records that can help this?
Well, the TLV is just a reflection of what's happening in the feed.
Right.
And the feed is not giving that information.
The ephemeral nature of live is the problem. The live lit shows are going to be an issue in general.
Right. So in the absence of, so this is what CurioCaster is sending right now during a live show.
Mm-hmm.
So in the absence of a GUID for the episode and the absence of a remote item, remote feed GUID, I have nothing. Like the ideal situation is the remote feed GUID, remote item GUID. Right, if those were in there, we're gold.
Right.
Nothing else has to be done except, and then I just have to do lookups.
But those could be added to the TLV record. They could be added technically, right?
Yes, for sure. For sure. The other thing that's missing from the live is the timestamp. There's no timestamp value in this because live timestamps don't really
exist.
They don't make sense. Yeah.
Right. Right.
For life. So that, so in the absence of remote item GUID, remote feed GUID in this TLV and the absence of a timestamp, I have no idea. So there are many boosts being missed because I simply can't do attribution properly.
In that case, you just ignore them.
I don't have a choice.
Yeah.
You have to. Like this is from DraftScout. It's 1-2. This is 123,456 sats. Mm-hmm. But it's, I don't know how to, I don't know where, all I can tell is it says it's going to Daydreamer. But,
by Ainsley
but there's
Costello.
No programmatic way to make that attribution. Unless, so I have no idea.
Unless you go into the, unless you are able to catch it in time to go in and get the value time split from Boostagram Ball episode. Oh, no, yeah, I guess you can get it from the... Okay, well, this is interesting. So when I do the show live, then that show is published. So Boostagram Ball episode 5, the value time split should be the same as the live. Does that make sense?
Yeah, for your show, it's probably going to be the same.
Right.
But some other shows, they may totally edit down their thing and they may be all messed up. So if the TLVs come in for live shows, if they can put the remote feed GUID, remote item GUID in there, then we're good. I don't have any other problems.
Right.
And generally speaking, so trying to get historical information right now was very difficult because at the beginning, only Stephen B's split kit and CurioCaster non-live were the only ones providing the remote feed GUID, remote item GUID. So what I had to do was take the timestamp, see and go. So like for an episode of Boostagram Ball, let's just say episode 3, have to get the feed, resolve the feed, figure out its Boostagram Ball, grab the timestamp, and then go get Boostagram Ball's RSS feed.
Right.
Parse the XML, find all of the value time splits in it with their time ranges, build a table of those, and then find the timestamp where it fits in the range of in the lookup table, to pull out the remote feed item, remote feed GUID, remote item GUID, then do a lookup on that in the index to find out that was.
So this really doesn't make sense unless we have the TLVs carrying all the information you need.
It's a lot of work. And so it takes about 30 minutes to do a run of 7 days, for the whole build process to function.
Right.
That's why I was telling you on Signal, I was trying to avoid database work, mm-hmm. because this is already such a huge bag of scissors, mm-hmm. that I didn't want to have to get involved in database, but I will. I mean, there's really only the only way to do this right is with some database, and I'm going to have to do that. I'm just trying to save. I'm trying to get all the logic right first.
Right.
For a while there, I didn't even know what to save.
Right.
I didn't even know what to put in the database.
I guess what I'm saying is, would it make more sense for us to say, hey, we need this information to be carried in the TLV before we can even move forward? Or do you want to continue on this path?
No, I've got the workaround for now. It's just going to have to be. So, the language that I put at the top is not ideal, but it does make a point. You know, this represents the best approximation of how many sats are flowing to artists. And it says the numbers could be higher, but they can't be lower.
No, I understand that. But the problem is the gaming aspect. If we're not doing it based on number of separate wallets, it's just going to get gamed. You know what I mean? Or am I misunderstanding?
I understand what you're saying. And that can be done to an extent. I mean, so Stephen B, like on that same JPEG, Stephen B puts in the reply address, the reply custom key, reply custom value. So that can identify a wallet where we can say, okay, this is a distinct wallet. Otherwise,
That information, you don't have that information. Right, right. If it's always coming from Fountain, then you're just going to get a pre-image, I guess, is all you get. What else do you get? You can't identify the wallet.
Right. Yeah. It's because it's all keysend. So you don't really know. But you could also game it a different, if we're just looking at TLVs, which is all I've been doing so far, I haven't dug into the actual, to really get to what you're talking about. I'd have to dig into the actual Lightning invoice and try to figure out if there's anything in there that's distinct, that I can key on, but I haven't even got that far yet. So I don't trust the TLV record at all.
At all, got it.
Somebody could create a command line and just pump out TLVs with all kinds of fake information. That is completely possible. There's no way to stop it.
Well, the cool thing is, there's no prize for being number one. That's right. You don't win anything.
Yes.
there's nothing you get. Ah, okay, I understand. And everyone's thinking very simplistically. As was I, and I appreciate you explaining this. I think it would probably be helpful if we let people look at this, but that they keep their bitching to a minimum, as if not at all. Because already I've gotten the following boostograms, like, my brother Kurt suggested making a chart system based off of how many wallets have boosted versus how many sats they brought in. That way there's no easy way to win. Interesting averaging all the different data rather than just taking a single number, like amount of wallets that donated. Interesting. So there's a lot of, people are, people want stuff, but they're going to get what they can get.
Here's a problem with keysend and why I doubt that there's going to be a way to identify specific wallets reliably. And if let's just throw this out here. If anti-gaming of things was easy or a solvable problem, most of the problems on the internet would have already gone, wouldn't exist. This is not a easy problem to solve.
Right. The good news is the gaming here only benefits the artist.
Yes.
And if they're gaming themselves, well, okay, you're just jerking off. Congratulations. Because yes. you're really not going to get a prize from me. Now, that said, repetition. But, I look at the chart today, and I'll just say what I'm seeing here. I'm seeing number one, Corey Keller. It's so hard to feel alive. Number two, Daydreamer, Ainsley Costello. Number three, Two Ships, Ainsley Costello. Then come the Dorfels at number four, Don't Forget Me. Then, surprising, Bryce at number five by Boys Home. Longy at six. Riot in Progress at seven. Modern Marie, Signs and Signals at eight. Lip Service, Mustache Ride, my favorite of the week. Sarah Jade. Solution Revolution. This feels to me like a real chart because I looked a couple of days ago and I saw Fletcher and Blaney all over the place. Now they have their first entry at number 12. Feels right to me. Feels right. Now these are not, these are total.
So you're saying this seems to match up with what you felt.
What I feel, because I've listened to everyone's podcast. I've listened to what everyone's playing. It feels right. Now, there's stuff in here that I haven't played. And this is a run of 90 days with a waiting of the last 7 days. Is that what you said?
That's right. So the last 7 days is always going to be at the top.
Because Cherry on Top is number 18 on this chart. And that's
Which makes sense.
It's very possible. I mean, it's played out, right? It's like everyone's played it and now it's not really being played that much anymore.
Bloodshot Lies is right above that, which makes sense.
Yeah.
That one's kind of fallen off the rotation. Yeah.
Yeah. Makes sense to me. What do you think? Should we tell people where they can find it so they can just start taking a look at it? And we really have to change the language at the top though, because it's,
I think it's worth putting out there because the real
So well, you don't have any explanation of the algo.
No, I don't.
That needs, people need to understand what the calculation is based on.
In regards to the gaming. So the gaming of this, it's sort of like, so this chart is in arrears, if you want to think of it that way. It's charting things that have already happened.
How does Eric PP already find the URL? I was going to do this as a whole, like a celebration, douchebag.
Let's go ahead and tell. Let's go ahead and throw the URL.
Okay. First of all, we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about it publicly. Okay, I've gabbled that one off. Okay. There's two URLs. One is V for V Music 100. I forgot even myself. What was it?
It's podcastindex.top.
No, yeah, podcastindex.top is the one I like. There's also V for V top100.com. Both go to the same place. I personally like podcastindex.top.
I do too.
For some reason, it just feels funky. You know, it's like, wow, that's weird. And that's easier to remember, podcastindex.top.
Yeah.
This feels like, you know, what you're going to see now is people saying, hey, that's not enough. So you've explained that while the sats would be more. We definitely need to put, like, it doesn't have to be all at the top. Somewhere at the bottom, just explain how it's calculated, what you just told me. And then, of course, once we can, have those drill downs into, you know, what podcasts are. It sounds like that's a way off, though, because we're nowhere near getting to that.
I don't know if it's nowhere near. I think that part goes pretty quick. The hard part is the initial design of how to aggregate everything so that it's accurate.
Right.
And I'm almost finished. I'm sort of almost finished with that process. I'm feeling better about what these numbers look like each time I do a run.
Yeah.
And because each this, so last night, all of a sudden, I'm like, here's the way this progresses. You know, so you go through, you do a run, you make some change, you realize there's some problems, you make some changes, fix some bugs, and then you find out that you're like, oh, that looks better, but right. Then something else looks worse. Right. And you're like,
right.
Okay, wait, what? I know this. There's no way that Cherry on Top only has 100 sats.
No.
How did that happen?
Yeah. And how did that happen?
Yeah. And so then you go back and you look and you're like, oh, okay. There's another TLV issue. So like last night, for instance, I figured out that at some point, Stephen B. must have made a change. And
no, Stephen B. making a change in his code? No, no, no.
Say it ain't so. I have an ISO for this. It's duh.
That's what I love about him. Usually right before No Agenda starts.
Yeah. So at some point he made a change and the what was coming through as the episode GUID was actually not a text field, but it was an array.
Oh, no. So you have to account for both now?
Yes, exactly.
String and an array. All right.
Yes. He fixed it at some point. So I saw it. It's like all of a sudden, so TLV start coming through as arrays. And the GUI is an array. And then they go back to strings. So I'm like, okay. All right. So workaround code. So I put this in. And then all of a sudden, magically, I do another run and everything shifts around and things look better.
I just want to mention Ice Cube Soup in the chat. Uh-huh. I like this. If we call this a velocity chart, I like the velocity.
It's like the velocity of money.
It's velocity. I mean, it's literally velocity of an algorithm that, you know, to be understood, but it's not most money or any, it's a velocity. I like velocity just as a term. I mean, it's great marketing. Who cares what it means? Velocity. This is a velocity chart.
I like it. Yeah. A little graph. With, shooting to the top.
It works nicely with my velocipede that I'm about to ride on.
So every time you do a run, which again, you know, it takes like half an hour every time. So you have to wait a little while and to go get lots of snacks between runs. And so each time something gets better. So I'm almost at the end of that process. I feel like where things are beginning to consistently feel correct.
And this is the first time I've seen the chart, because we've been looking at it for about a week or so, week and a half, that it really feels right. You know, I don't know about the numbers, but just the ranking, the diversity, the velocity. You know, I would expect when something catches fire that it's going to start moving up our chart, not because of the number of sats, but the velocity. And of course, sats has to go along with that. By the way, thank you, Sir TJ the Wrathful, 33,333. He's part of the Dorfuls, etc. Thank you for your hard work, Dave, Adam, everyone involved. Big discussion today. Lots to think about. Exciting stuff. And most importantly, God bless you both. Thank you. God bless everybody. God bless Stephen B. Yes. We joke about him, but we love him. We love him. Yeah, we love him. He single-handedly created pretty much all the software that's made this possible at this point.
For sure. Yeah. Let's go back for a second real quick. And this thing is charting stuff that's already happened.
Right.
You don't get more money or more sats for having a shitty song that's number one.
No.
Because nobody's gonna listen to that and pay you for that.
Right. So it's certainly not send you a message.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Hey, really crap. Keep it up.
And that's a good point. This is actually, so this chart is catching boosts and streams both. It's not just one or the other.
Good.
So you've already, by the time you're on this chart, people have already played your song and enjoyed it.
Right.
And paid you for it.
Right.
So that's the gamification, while yes, it is very possible to gamify the crap out of this and move yourself up the chart. I mean, ultimately, it's not going to be like you said, you don't get money for being on the chart.
Right. You don't. Yeah, exactly. It's historical. It's almost like when you look at a chart, a stock trading chart, just because what you see happened in the past doesn't mean it's going to work the same way the next time you click buy.
Yeah.
In fact, it rarely does. It's always the opposite.
Yeah. And so that's one thing to keep in mind. The other thing is, like, some podcast apps, like PodFans, Sam, if you're listening, I sent Sam a message the other day about this. So some podcast apps are not sending enough information, just base information in the TLV.
Right.
So one thing we need, like, PodFans was only sending the podcast title. It wasn't sending the feed GUID or the feed ID, or it wasn't basically sending anything else that I could.
Yeah, but
I can't just go on Tidal.
It's a bunch of Indian developers. What do you want, Dave?
I can't. It's, no,
we love you, Sam.
Mustafa is Egyptian.
Oh, he's Egyptian? Oh, yes. Same thing. Brown people. Come on.
Yeah. So he goes, I sent him that thing, and he's like, yeah, you know, we'll jump on this. So,
cool.
Like, that's, if you're an app developer sending the TLVs, make sure that you're at least sending a base level
of
identifiable information. Even if you're not to the point where you're ready to send the remote feed GUID, remote item GUID yet, at least for the show, like if you're playing Boostergram Ball, at least send that feed GUID or feed ID with it, so that I can then have the information there to do the reverse, to go do the XML parsing part.
Got it.
Because things are getting missed.
Oh yeah.
These numbers should be a lot higher.
They should be. And it's important because we want people to know what app was being used. I think this is a great statistic. You know, what apps are important in this game, quote unquote game. what podcasts, what episodes. I mean, this is all this, as much as we can get. That's where we create an incredible discovery mechanism, which is just, it's so meta when you think about it, because you got DJs discovering song. And I mean, this is where I'm going to this chart, like, hey, you know, what is this song? I haven't seen this song. It hasn't hit my radar. Someone played it. Who played it? I want to see who played it. What else did they play?
Now, that's an interesting thing about this chart is if you start to scroll toward the bottom, there's a lot of music on here that I am not aware of.
Exactly.
I didn't even know it existed. Like Long Way by Hurling Pixels. I think that may have been featured on Michael Newman's show.
Yes. I haven't played it. I know of it, but I really only know it from the chart. No, and from
Tomorrow Will Be Better by Freddie Fresh.
No, do you know that? No, do not know that one.
Okay. Great name, Freddie Fresh.
Now this updates, well, right now it's updating whenever you do a run, obviously, but what is the planned update? Once a week, once a day? What is, I mean,
every night,
midnight. Oh, sexy, yep. sexy.
Yep.
Sexy. Dave, so that's sexy.
I've been called that.
Yes, I can understand.
Siren's Call by Jess Gentee.
Nope.
Yeah, there's a lot. Nope. Robert Downey by Man Like Quicks.
Yeah, this one I know.
Okay. All right. There's a bunch of stuff on here that I didn't know about.
And it's coming from all kinds of places. This is what's beautiful. It's not just from Wavelake. It's from self-hosting, stuff that people are doing literally themselves or doing it through musicsideproject.com. I love it. Shall we take a, and I have some thoughts about tools, which I think is important next conversation to have. Shall we play a little song just to take a break, take a breather?
Oh, I would love to. They would love to play a song for this beautiful piece of technology.
Yes, technology. And I'm going to, since I spoke to him last night and I want to give him a good experience, I want to play a song by Jeff Smith. He uploaded an entire album and I listened to this album and said, Jeff, I've never heard this. He said, oh yeah, it's from 2009. 2009, it sounds like it's from yesterday. Again, Jeff Smith, the Jeff Smith, Sir Jeff Smith, just gets up in the morning, puts on one pant leg and he writes hits. And they're short and poppy, which I like. Here's Gravity, Sir Jeff Smith.
I've been sitting here thinking about gravity, around the universe reaching out and grabbing me. It's like everything's pulling me back to you. I've been wondering if it's unreality or if somebody up there is glad at me. It's like everything's pulling me back to you. Don't need to see it.
Oh no,
I just got to believe it.
You know,
and I know you can believe it too, 'cause it's true. I've been staring at the night sky, wondering what's really keeping me under it. It's like everything's pulling me back to you. I don't need to see it, uh-oh. I just got to believe it, you know. I know that you can believe it too, 'cause it's true. But I could just close my eyes and deny you, and not see skies of blue. But you, everywhere. Thinking about gravity, reaching out and grabbing me, and pulling me back to you. I've been sitting here thinking about gravity, just reaching out and grabbing me, and pulling me back to you. Pulling me back to you, that's gravity. Pulling me back to you, that's gravity. Pulling me back to you.
Sir Jeff Smith, Gravity.
That is a beautiful piece of technology.
Yay!
So here's the issue. That song got lots of stats, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But now after the fact, it's going to be very difficult to attribute it because the connection between the GUID, the connection between what's happening now and what gets published later, where I have to, where which is what I have to do the attribution on,
right,
that is going to be broken.
I'm sorry. I feel bad now. I feel bad now that I played it. I feel bad.
Damn you. Here's what would fix it temporarily. If the remote feed, if you're not ready to do remote feed GUID, remote item GUID, if that's not yet working, put the live item GUID in there. Because then at least I have the item still in the... The live items stay in the database for a long time. Well, I can at least then go back and reverse engineer it.
Right. Here's the good news, that this live item will stay in the Podcasting 2.0 feed for a week.
Okay.
So you can go back and the value time splits in there. So hopefully that'll help.
So the with the live items, not the value time split's not in the live item itself though, right?
No, but what is in the, and hold on, what I do have in there is, hold on a second. I have the, what is the word I'm looking for? I have the live value link is in there, and you can get it from the live value link.
Yeah, it's in real time though. Like, I don't think you can go back and get it after the fact. That's like a web. That's a real web. That's like a real time web socket.
But it publishes into the feed, doesn't it?
What comes out of the socket?
Yeah. I have the live value link, and that I think that's put into, well, let me take a look. Where is Stephen? Stephen B's got a real job. Apparently he's doing something like work.
Boring. Occasionally he has to feed his family.
Boring. Let me see. Where's the
Podcasting 2.0?
How come I don't have
RSS feed?
Yeah, where's the? I don't have the RSS. What is this, weird? Can you take a look in the feed?
Yeah, I'm like, there's value block in there, but there's no time splits.
But there's no live value link in that.
There is, but I'm saying that I can't, after the fact, that only helps you during the live event itself. After the fact, you can't get anything useful out of it.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You can't query it for old data.
Hold on. I think if you look at, well, how about this? How about if I give you the, cause it's, I think it's the same. Yes, it is. If you, it's the same hash as, I'm going to send this to you, as the split kit link. I'm just talking gobbledygook here. Check your signal. So you see, okay. This is, it says splitkit.com/live, and it has a hash that ends in DC. See. So that's the same as the webhook thing. And that will have that information in there, I think. Will that not have that information in there? Oh, I'm just full of crap. No, it won't. No. It won't. It's no good. It's no good. Okay. I understand the problem.
Yeah.
The good news is Dreb Scott boosted 123,456 and he put Jeff Smith in his message. So if that helps.
Okay.
All right. Yeah. Just do a grep on gravity.
It's going to grep all the song names. You have to put the song title in your, send us an email. How about that?
But at least I understand the problem. I get the problem. All right. Yeah,
the best way to fix this is put the remote feed GUID, remote item GUID in the TLV. That way there's no ambiguity. It all just works.
Cool. It's all running with scissors, people, all of it. Now, I'm going to do something here that I'm suggesting. Well, I'm not even asking for approval. I'm doing it. Because this is, I mean, for artists, it's one thing. We have this, you know, we've always had this wonderful separation between podcast hosts and podcast apps. And it's very interesting because, you know, sometimes I hear podcast app developers saying, I should just be a podcast host and then I've got it all together, you know, like Spotify with Anchor. It makes so much sense. And then I just heard on the Pod News Weekly Review a suggestion that the podcast standards group, which apparently still lives, that, they should do a reference app, you know, where they all get together and do an app. I'm like, oh, man. So, which I think neither is a really good idea personally, but we do have this lag between what the apps develop and what the hosting companies make available. And this is a really big one because if you look at how the split kit operates, which is really the magic in this, that's the only thing that's making this work, because the split kit queries all of the songs, all the music that's available. So you just, you go in there and say, okay, I want to play this song in my show where they're doing it live. Like I literally on the fly, because I know it's in there, I went in and got Jeff Smith's In the Morning song, and I and added into the split kit. So when this publishes as a podcast, that, you know, the three or like the minute and a half that I played will actually switch to Jeff Smith's wallet.
Nice.
And I could do that. It's good enough, this tool, that I can do it on the fly, but it's very easy to schedule your show and to hit, you know, hit each individual song. So it adds that. And then when you're ready to publish, if you do it with Sovereign Feeds, it actually imports it all magically. It's all very good. The problem is this is a lot to do for a hosting company. Either they're going to have to integrate with SplitKit and, you know, and use an API. You know, will that always work? Who knows? You know, when something goes wrong with a hosting company, that's when, you know, all hell breaks loose, because then you have to have expensive people talking to people. And it's all about customer service. So I would like to help deconstruct a hosting solution for podcasters. And we're early enough in the game that would hopefully act as, one, a solution, two, something that hosting companies can look at and you know, and draw their conclusions from. And it will also, of course, you know, fulfill the dream of tens of thousands of value for value music podcasts. So IPFS podcasting, IPFSpodcasting.net works. It works. It works on two levels. One, technically, it just works. I've had zero problems with Boostagram Ball, which I started from the get-go. And it also has a payment system in there. So everybody who's participating in hosting gets a little piece, feels good. I have no idea if it's going to even out, if it's going to even out the cost of hosting an IPF and a S-Note. I don't know. It doesn't matter. But at least you don't feel like you're just being leached off of.
Yeah, I'm hosting about roughly 4 gigs right now.
Right.
Shows, yeah.
There's a real problem. James Cridlin pointed it out, and I immediately went into action on this. The problem is the way it is set up, because none of the podcast apps actually speak IPFS natively, it's all going through one gateway, IPFS.io, which is IPFS Labs. And honestly, almost every IPFS solution in the universe goes through that gateway, which means that, yes, while you're hosting, you're hosting gigs and gigs, your bandwidth is not actually being used. It's the IPFS Labs bandwidth that's being used, which is part of the problem. And they can shut it off. They can say, hey, this is a violation, or we don't like music, or we're worried, or whatever. So yes. I have tasked Mark Void Zero to set up an IPFS gateway on each one of the server infrastructure that I own to create gateways. And he's going to be working with Cameron, and I want to create an IPFS gateway for value podcasts. Now, with that means that those gateways have to, so there's, I think it's recommended 5%, whatever it is, 1% has to go to the gateway. So we can't be getting a little piece of it, because it's just, it's too much value that's being provided. And that 1% is supposed to eventually buy Mark a new desktop, because he needs a new desktop. So that's my idea there.
That's goal two. Yes.
We have enough bandwidth, so that's not really a problem. In fact, it is usually the storage that becomes a problem after a while.
Yes.
So I would love to see Sovereign Feeds, SplitKit, Castapod, all of these different solutions all integrate with this IPFS, which is within our own Scissor community, so that it will work out of the box and you don't have to worry about a hosting company if you want to go down this route and, you know, play in the sandbox. There's no guarantees, there's no help desk, you know, but you can at least say, I want to create a value for value music show, boom, I've got this. I can immediately do it with Sovereign Feeds, SplitKit integrates, and it all kind of works, and it automatically gets added to the index, and you're good to go.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Object storage is cheap. Block storage, which is what this is not.
Yeah, exactly.
So on, you know, block storage on a on cloud providers, just in their virtual machines, those are expensive. So that's, yeah, you're going to have, yeah, you're going to have people willing to, you know, spend a little bit of money each month in order. And for that, you have to be able to get some of that back, you know?
Yeah. I mean, so we already have working perfectly well is the storage part. And I love it. I see them coming in all the time. I get, you know, 20 sats, 50 sats, whatever it is. Feels really good. It's like, okay, I got my node running. I have no idea what the actual cost is to me, but it feels good. The problem is it was just very weak with the gateway. So, and this, and the infrastructure that we have can handle a lot. In fact, I'd say half of the No Agenda Stream podcasts are already hosted on it. I have no idea. You know, so there's plenty of room, and you know, he has that all set up. So there's no additional cost to the bandwidth for us to do this.
Mm-hmm.
But I you know, Transcribe FM, I want that in there too. Tie it all together. Use your ELF 402 SATs thing, everything. We need a place where it ties together so that people like Alberto and the RSS Blue guys, and so they can see how it all comes together, and that there, I think there's an actual model in there. We're just going to do 1% just to make it visible. I think there's a real model in there for the hosting companies.
Oh, so I haven't really checked my helipad since I started hosting IPFS, and right here on top, 5 sats. Thank you from Pod News Daily for hosting Patreon exclusive content now in Spotify via IPFS podcasting.
There you go.
Cool. It's the first time I just haven't been back. I haven't seen it work, but I'm evidently getting sats.
Alex Gates says, I want to see the source code. I don't know what he's talking about, but.
What source are you looking for?
I don't know what source he's looking for. He doesn't trust
I wish I could show you the source code for the chat, maybe for the charting script,
yeah,
just so that everybody could have a good belly laugh.
Well, can you, or is it just too embarrassing?
No, I don't have it on. No, I don't care about that. I've been putting code public for so long. I'm immune to that now. I don't have it on this machine. I don't have access to it, but, no, I think that makes sense. I'm trying to think of any machines that I may have that I may be able to contribute, you know?
Well,
as a gateway.
Don't worry about it. This is a good gateway. There's 3 or 4 machines that will run it. So, you know, and it's not trivial, by the way. It turns out a gateway is not entirely trivial.
That may be what Alex is talking about, the gateway source code. I wonder what code he's using. Is there an open source gateway?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, there's a GitHub and everything. Oh,
okay.
All right. But it's just not trivial because you have to use, we will have to use certain hashes, I think, or hashtags or something so that people don't abuse our gateway, because we don't want it to be used for any, we just want it to be used for this.
Nothing but podcasts.
Yeah, not for people backing up their, you know, their drives or whatever, you know, sending porn and movies.
Porn collection. Yeah.
Yeah. So and you know, and also for value podcasts in general. I mean, it will work for that as well. But I just love to see. So we're going to try and tighten that gap a little bit between. Okay, I just use Sovereign Feeds or Castup. It's always the problem. Has always been the hosting part.
Yeah,
that's always the problem. And I don't want to be a hoster, because again, I know when it breaks, the deal with this is it's broken. Sorry. Hang in there. Stand by. A hosting company is a hand holding company.
Yeah.
You know, it's an education company. It's something very different from what I'm proposing here. But I also want to use it to show the model that this can work. It really can. I know it can.
You've got a hard out at 2:30, and we can't. I mean, we've got. I mean, I'm not even a fifth of the way through my notes. So
what else do you have? What else
going to have to punt?
What else do you have on your list?
Well, I mean, I've got to talk about the radio medium proposal, fountain supporting Bolt 11. I was going to go through Ron Plouffe's stats page. NOS Noster Labels proposal.
Oh my god, by Oscar. I've hogged everything.
And no, I'm just saying. I think we're gonna have to punt to next week for the rest of this because we still got to thank people.
Well, but you want to pick one of those and something one of those we can talk about.
We got a bunch of boosts and stuff.
I like, know that we may have to punt on doing the whole list of boosts.
I mean, like we got like you know 3 weeks worth of worth of donation stuff to do. But I mean the other thing was that there's very interesting discussion on the. From Marco and them on the Accidental Tech podcast about their ad stuff. I've got a whole bunch of stuff I wrote down about that. I mean, we can definitely talk about that next week, but I guess the radio proposal, the radio medium proposal makes sense to talk about right now. Sure. Since it's in context.
Sure.
Because it kind of fits with the live thing. So if you have a live only show, like 100% retro.
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense to have a medium specifically for that because that is a unique. It's a unique type of thing. It's a unique unique type of content. But I guess it makes sense in context to talk about here because we need a way to record boost for that. You know, because if things are going to be charted and you're going to have a live show that's live. I mean. You could have a live stream, a radio show, because that's what I'm thinking. I mean, Booster Graham Ball really is it's a radio. It's a podcast, but it's also a radio show.
Well, okay, so let's define this because
or is it?
No, what I'm thinking radio means is radio stations who want to incorporate this into they want to incorporate value for value into their revenue model. So to me, the way I read the proposal and the way I've heard Sam Sethi talk about it, and this is Alex Gates proposed it, right?
Yes.
I'm just thinking that he is looking at 100% retro. And here's the problem. And this is a problem in general. There's going to be pain with all this. I'm going to say it right now, pain is coming. Pain is coming and the pain,
I don't know why I'm laughing.
And the pain is going to come from the music industry. They are not going to take this lightly. They're going to see what we're doing as an attack
and they're going to hate us.
Because they're going to see money flowing once they figure it out. And I've already seen covers on Wavelake and I'm going to send my prayers to Wavelake that they understand that covers, it's a non-starter. It's not maybe or iffy. It's a non-starter. Anything that is licensed, that is owned by a label, a publishing company, that is licensed through ASCAP BMI, which I'm willing to go to bat for that because I think that what I do with Boost the Grand Ball, I'm not doing a performance. It is a physical copy of a song that I'm making. And so that comes down to who owns the master. And in this case, you know, I'm just going to presume that all the songs I play are owned by the people who are putting them up on Wavelake. But right. If you all of a sudden have a radio stream and this pain will come to 100% retro too. If you're receiving boosts, then you're going to have to pay someone a piece of that on the back end because they're going to come for it. So the idea of putting radio in there. Mm-hmm. So the way radio works is you don't pay the publisher, you don't pay the owner of the master, you pay ASCAP BMI. Mm-hmm. And it's typically a blanket license. So they're going to say, oh, you have this extra income. Fine. I need a piece of that. That's how they're going to view it. So for me, it's really live stream. It's live only. And it's not the same as a podcast that does the podcast live and then publishes as a podcast. Because these radio streams, I think, are typically not published as a podcast later.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Okay. Okay, I see that. So the radio medium is really a medium that says you can what what to expect from this feed is nothing but a single live item.
Yes.
You're never going to have any regular items in this thing.
Is Alex, did Alex leave the chat? Cause I'd love to.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. He bailed. Yeah. He bailed.
Did he rage quit after I called him out?
No, no, I don't think so.
I hope not.
No, I don't think so.
Don't rage quit on me, bro.
No, I think I think that makes more sense to me now. Cause I was thinking at first that it was like that it was meant to define a podcast that was going to be referencing other podcasts as its primary function. But now I'm like,
oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, that's too fuzzy though. I mean, you could go way down the rabbit hole with stuff like that of defining mediums of all sorts of edge cases of things, you know, I mean, like, where are you going to have a special book review medium type where, you know, it's like, that's probably not right.
Yeah, where's a radio stream? Now, there's lots of talk radio. There's financial radio stations. There's all kinds of stuff like that. And for me, it's an app thing. It's like, okay, I'm in an app, I love, by the way, who did the search drop down on the index?
Yeah, that was Stephen Crater. He's been beautiful. Doing a lot of work.
Beautiful. Yeah. That makes so much sense. It's like, okay, I want to look for a radio stream. And I want to listen to something that's about finance. And so I'd search for it there, you know, or an app can surface like, I think, Podcast Addict does that already.
The Podcast Addict.
Let me take a look. I think it's, let me look at my collection of apps. I have them all, people. Podcast Addict has a separate section for radio. And in this case, yeah, radio stations. Now it's actual radio stations. But it would be so something like that for a podcast app to surface, you know, live radio streams makes sense to me.
Okay. Well, let me throw this twist at you.
Okay.
I find it painful every week when I see, when I see the Accidental Tech Podcast post on Mastodon. Oh,
yeah, we're going live and you can't get it in your app. I share your pain. I share that. Yes.
It's like, we're going live in 30 minutes. And then you have another post that says, we're live now. I'm like, oh, just put it in the feed. Yeah. Just put it in the feed.
Yeah.
So, like, what if there was a feed that... And I was tempted to just send a pod ping to create a bot to just watch for that signal, that watch for that toot to come through and send a pod ping on their behalf. Like, I would just send a pod ping for this.
I don't see why you couldn't.
I could, but that doesn't. But the apps verify against the RSS feed, and it would not validate.
Right.
So this leads me to a question: if there was a separate podcast feed. In this instance called ATP Live, that had only, it was a radio medium, and it had only a live item in it with the next estimated scheduled live date. And then there is a bot that updated that with the appropriate data and then pod pinged it. Now it's pod pinging itself. You see, it's like a second part. It's like a third party feed referencing this other podcast. And it's basically doing it on its behalf, but it's only meant for live.
Right.
So it's going to be, that's a radio medium, right? Or does it have to be a 24-hour live stream?
That's, when you say radio, that's what that means to me. I don't want to be writing the law here. I also don't think that, hey, if ATP doesn't want to use the LIP protocol, then they don't want to use the LIP protocol. It's fine. You know,
sure. No, I'm good with that. I just had that thought in my head. Like, would that be something that would still be a live thing? Because I could see where people might want to do that for shows that they enjoy.
Let's look at a real world complicated example.
Okay.
No Agenda Stream. That to me is a radio stream, a radio feed. It's 24/7. It's a mix of live, pre-recorded stuff. We're using it right now. That to me is radio. It's 24 hours a day. Now, the schedule is very loosey-goosey, but that's the kind of thing that would actually be interesting. And a lot of people have looked, I mean, NoAgendaStream.com is a beautiful community project, and it's mainly Bemrose who is managing it. And it's very complicated because, you know, people have to get MP3s to him or he has to get them. I don't know how much is automated. People jump in. I mean, I've cut in and accidentally cut someone off. There's all kinds of stuff going on. But in combination with Podping, that would be a beautiful example of a modern radio feed. So it's not based on a schedule because it's very loose, like no agenda. Oh, maybe we end at this time. Maybe we end at that time. But the minute we end and the next show starts, Podping, boom. If you're subscribed to that medium equals radio, it should tell you, hey, a new show has started. And with that, it should be sucking in value blocks, all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. Not, I mean, it's like organized chaos, basically.
I thought at one point that the No Agenda Stream had a feed, had an RSS feed, but I don't see it, and I may be kidding myself. But that would be a good sandbox for this.
I think it would be a fantastic sandbox. I mean, looking forward, I'm not so interested in the guy who manages Radio 1 for the BBC. I'm more interested in Bemrose, who's managing this chaos of God knows whatever. And I don't even know how he finds the time, but the only thing we have right now is, look, when I go live, boom, Podping, we're live. People automatically tune in, they're switched in. But to be able to just have that thing on or go into it anytime and know exactly what's playing, maybe have a what's next, even though it's not dictated by time. And then value blocks changing. That's a modern radio station. To me, a modern radio station is an aggregate, is a community of people who are doing feeds, doing shows live, pre-recorded music. The schedule is impossible. So somehow this radio medium equals radio will enable the app to at least give you some semblance of what's happening and some way to provide value back, etc., and to have the links to different, you know, websites and whatever, you know what I mean? And then integrate in the hosts and the the people tag and all of that stuff. Stephen B just joined. Great show, everybody.
There's an ISO for the What's for Dinner. Yes.
Oh.
What's for dinner?
Yeah.
Okay. We seriously got to thank some people because we're getting low on time.
Let me thank a couple people who have been boosting live, first of all, if you don't mind. We'll do those right up front.
Yep.
Mr. Robot 7777 V for Technolo G. Eric PP 33,333. Fletcher, you guys are music 2.0 pioneers with 3333. We've got Booberry 7777. Damn you, gravity always bringing me down. Dreb Scott 1 2 3 4 5 6. There he Baller. Is.
Shot caller 20 inch blaze on the Impala.
Welcoming Sir Jeff Smith to the value for value music. Boobery with 17,776. We encountered an unusual scenario. I wanted to take our pre-shows and enable wallet switching technology. Of course. I added these new items to our main feed and posted them along with the regular episodes. The No Agenda Stream is going to take the most recent item in the feed, meaning one would get skipped. Everything is groovy now. Okay. Thanks, Bem Dog. Dude, I have no idea what you're talking about. Boobery is like, and I love that about Boobery because they are running with head shears over there. That's crazy.
Flobies. They're running with Flobies.
Curtis Drums, 1500 sats. Is there any data involved for plays, play time simply, or do you only see the data of boosts and such? Well, as you heard Curtis Drums, we really have nothing.
We got
play time, bro. No, that's going to be that's not happening. No, we'd love to have some of that, but no, that's not
deeply
happening.
Deeply invasive into the app, and they're not going to send that.
Shrewd Ward 3333. Yes, Stephen B is an animal. Good stuff being cooked up here. Excited for the future of V for Fee. Keep up the crap. Sir TJ the Raffle. We already read his, but it was 33,333. Thank you for the hard work, Dave and Adam. Everybody involved. Big discussion today. Lots to think about. Exciting stuff. God bless you. Thank you, sir. Curtis Drums again. Interesting averaging all that different data rather than just taking a single number like amount of wallets that donated. Very interesting. We're trying. It's called velocity. Let's see. We have Mr. Robot again. Good to hear that with 7777. Good to hear the Pod Sage and Pod Father back together again. Was missing the weekly V for V running with Scissor updates. Dave, heard some rumblings of STEMCERT.
What?
STMSRT Noster music that will change the music industry. Okay, I have no idea. Stems, STMERS. I guess it's a Noster thing that's going to change the music industry.
Because
he says LMAO. Apples to oranges, but it was a subscription service. Boostagram and those creating their own like this is the way to go. Thank you for all. I think it's the way to go as well. I mean, we're seeing the difference. Like all of a sudden, we've got music podcasts and everyone's waking up. 5,000 sats. Another Curtis Drums came up with the song ranked by amount of wallets that have donated idea and shared it on No Agenda Social. Just want to give myself a shout out. Yeah. Oh, you're great, Curtis. Here's your shout out. Clip Custodian. Hello, Clip Custodian. 100,000 satoshis.
Shot caller, 20-inch blaze on the Impala.
He says, love y'all both. And he wishes me a happy birthday, which is this Sunday.
Oh, love you too.
Yeah, thank you. Fletcher, 15,480. Everything is lit mofos. Much love, mi amigos. Dreb Scott again with 123,456. Welcoming us back. Missed you guys. Well, Dave and Adam. Dave, since Adam did every other podcast. Oh, okay. So he only missed you. Boobery 6969, me doodles on the boardroom whiteboard with a Sharpie. Yes, thank you. Anonymous, 55,555. And that is it. That's the ones. We got some.
Stephen B said, if you have any problem, Noster solves it.
That's right. Sure does. Should we do the PayPals first? I'm sure we have some people to thank there. And then maybe the top boostergrams, because it may be just too much in general to thank everybody from 3 weeks. I don't know. You tell me.
Yeah, we'll give it a good go. Okay. Marco, $500.
Yeah,
Marco. Shot caller, 20-inch blaze on the Impala. Yep.
Thank you so much, man. Thank you. We'd love to take you lit.
Yep, for sure. And it means a lot because I know they're having... I know their donations and stuff are down, so I appreciate them.
We'd like to help them get more money. Boost. Can you imagine how that could make a difference for them?
Buzzsprout.
You just walked right over that comment. I love it.
It needed no commentary.
Yes.
Buzzsprout not only sent me a Roadcaster Duo, but they sent us $500.
Bam! Thank you so much. I love those guys. It's not the Lightning community that's keeping us alive. I'll tell you that. It's the podcast hosting community.
Yes. No, thank God. Cause we had a $200 a month PayPal donation that dropped. So this is good. It's good to see, to see things continuing.
Thank you. Yeah.
We did get a one timer, a $50. A donation through PayPal from David Marzal Canovas.
Oh, thank you.
He says, thanks for all the work in Podcast Index and 2.0. And sorry for the trouble with KDE Express. More refresh would be needed with all tests we are doing with transcripts.
Oh, yes. All right. You know, David, I'm so sad that I love what Nathan is doing with transcribe.fm, but he's not able to do the automatic host detection.
I don't know what do you mean host detection?
Yeah, no speaker detection.
Oh,
I really want to send my money to him.
Is it a limitation of the back end that he's using? Is it
RAV? Yeah, I think it's just it can't do it. You know, it's not easy, by the way. It's not a simple thing to do. So it involves manual work because I don't want to break PodFriend and people who are counting on them now by taking that out.
Yeah. That it's got the little heads popping up.
That's very cute.
Yeah. It's cute.
It's cute. I like it.
All right. We got some boosts. Let's dive in here. We got, Hey Citizen 6969 says boosting for the future.
Yes.
Thank you. Hey,
thank you. Thank you very
Chad
much.
Chad F 3333. Thank you, Chad. Got the tone record, 22,000 sats.
Ooh,
says
nice.
Before the break, loading up.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank Gene you. Bean 2222. Thank you, Gene Bean. Says props to Mitch and Podverse team for a great boost interface on iOS.
Yeah.
Yeah. RW Nash sent us 3333. Says greetings from Gitmo Nation Taffy. What is Gitmo Nation Taffy?
Taffy.
I see the flag emoji, but it is so tiny. I cannot.
Taffy. I wonder, is that, where it do is they so eat tiny, taffy?
I can't read it.
Boost.
I don't know where they eat taffy.
What is this? What is this emoji? Maybe I wonder if I can copy this out into the chat and see if somebody else can
get this. If the emoji even works.
Okay.
Oh, I got
greetings. No. I posted it into the IRC.
Yeah, but I got a whole bunch of square blocks.
Okay. Well, that's
client,
not going to work.
My client doesn't get it.
Let's see. Thank you, RW Nash. Appreciate that. Franco, our buddy from Castomatic, 10,000 sats. Thank you, Franco.
I got to tell you, Franco's in Italy, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know if I told you this, but podcasting in Italy is popping. It's breakout. Everybody's talking about podcasting all of a sudden.
Oh, that's the whale, the flag of Wales.
Oh, taffy. Yeah.
Okay.
It's
a podcastissimo.
But no, the podcast. Well, you do podcast. We checked in the hotel. The manager came out. Mr. Curry, I hear you do a podcast.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The word got around.
Huh? Oh, yeah. No, they're like, we have some wine for your Curry and the Keeper podcast. Because I guess Spotify may be promoting podcasting there, but I think some Twitch guys started doing podcasts. It's just one of those things. Podcasting is booming in Italy. So everywhere I went, I said, hey, there's an Italian podcast app made by an Italian. It's Castomatic and it kicks butt. So I was promoting it.
We got boots on the ground. This is an insurgency. We got an insurgency.
Yep.
Yes, so in Italy.
We got an
podcast insurgency.
Podcast insurgency.
Yes. Golden Dragon sent us 2222 Row of Ducks. He says, on the topic of V4V, what would stop us from doing this for something like blogging? Well,
nothing.
We've actually talked about that lots of times. That would totally work.
Sam Sethi is working on that.
Yeah, look at Pod fans. Golden Dragon.
Yeah.
Let's see. Oh, he said, Golden Dragon says, I'm boosting a great tune. 2222. Thank you, Golden Dragon.
Nice.
Mere Mortals podcast, our buddy Kyron, 2222. He says, through Fountain, he says, such a tease to come back for 1 week and then go away for even longer. Well, we didn't even come back for 1 week.
Nope.
We lied. So,
We didn't lie. We miscalculated.
Enjoy your vacation, Adam. Hope you had a blast. Joel W. Satchel Richards 1111 through CurioCaster. Thank you. Nashville BTC. Send, I don't know who that is. Sends 3333.
Thank you.
He says, I saw this on Noster. Any thoughts on this? I don't know if I can open this link.
What is the link? It's a Noster link?
It's a link to Noster.band. What is that?
I don't know.
Okay. This is great. This is from Fiat Jaff, founding member of the LNURL Mafia.
RSS,
this is his note. RSS is stupid because you can't link to one specific RSS entry.
Oh.
All these years, podcasts have been distributed with RSS, but every single time someone wants to link to a specific episode, they must hope the author has a URL for that episode they can link to, or they will link instead to a page in the service that hosts the podcast, or YouTube, or God forbid, Spotify. Noster fixes this. Yeah, okay.
Sure. All right, great. Thanks.
Yeah. Moving along.
Yeah.
Those are my thoughts on it. My thoughts are okay. Bad career advice, Chad. A Satchel of Richards, a big one. 11111. He says, this tune is a real toe tapper. Great job, Sam Means. A nice boost remix, Adam.
Go. Oh, you're welcome. I aim to please.
Bad Career Vice Chat also sent a Mega Rush boost 21112 through Fountain. He says, this boost is the seed funding for the boosts are protected speech legal fund. Please don't misappropriate the funds by writing off hookers and business expenses.
That's right. Money is speech, y'all.
Source D sent a 1701. I wonder if 1701 is a Star Trek boost.
Ooh,
sounds like
sexy.
What's an iPod shuffle? that. I guess we talked about shuffles on there. I think I mentioned something, but 1701 for Source D says, feels more like a bazaar than a cathedral. Oh, a little Eric S. Raymond reference. Okay, that's going way back. For IPFS podcasting to truly scale, in my opinion, you would need to start pulling directly from the nodes and not use the gateways. Well, I agree.
Yeah, I agree too. But that's step two. Step one is having a gateway that we control so we don't get shut down. And step two is for the apps to incorporate that. I don't know how hard that is, but it would be nice.
Cole McCormick, 15492. Through Fountain, he says, hey, if you guys want to hear what Ainsley Costello really thinks about V4V music, check out episode 82 of America Plus. Yes. I had a great talk with her.
Yep. It was a great, great show. I heard it.
Let's see. Anonymous, rest in peace. Bram Moulinar, author of Vim.
Yes. We lost him. Yeah, we did.
Yeah, 83,000 sats. 8,300 sats. I'm sorry. Matt D from River City Mystery Podcast sent us 5,000 sats. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate that. And he sent us again 22222. He says, love the concept of value for value. You guys are onto something here. Question. Do any Boostergram widgets exist that I can add to my WordPress site so that listeners can boost it directly from my website? Go podcasting.
Is there something like that? I'm not sure.
Well, you could always get Stephen B's code from...
Yeah, from SplitKit.
And just put a SplitKit on there.
Yeah.
That's what it's for. Frozier, 50,000 sats through Podverse. Woo. He says, I finished recording my first ever podcast earlier today, and I'm noticing developments happening at sovereignfeeds.com. Hey, Mom, I'm going to be a DJ just like Johnny Fever.
Yes, that's exactly right. That's the whole point. You can be. We like that.
Harry Pilgrim, 2,000 sats through Fountain. He says, wow, what a great track. A little Gwen mixed with some Avril. Go podcasting.
Ooh, go podcasting.
I don't have the reference for what track that
was.
I
don't know because we don't have it in the TLV.
And we've got a whole bunch of anonymous podcast guru user streaming boosts here.
Oh, interesting.
So, yeah, so Jason over Podcast Guru is clearly, he's up to no good here. He's doing
work. He is doing work. I know. He's doing all running with scissors, man. That's what I'm seeing. We love it.
Dirty Jersey Whore, 19760. Through Podcast Index, he says, start a podcast, they said. It'll be fun, they said. Seriously, though, I recommend everyone start their own podcast using Sovereign Feeds and the other P2.0 tools. It's been a huge learning experience for me. Thanks, guys. Y'all be good.
He has definitely been running with scissors. He's like, could you please delete these 15 feeds from the index that I created? Sure, brother.
Billy Bones, through Fountain, through sent us 6876. He says, keep building the future. We will.
Oh.
Let's see. I've got 8 million streams from Sam Sethi from PodFans that I'm blowing through here as we speak. Thank you, Sam. That's
great.
Aqualith? That name sounds familiar. Aqualith, 133 sats. Says, go podcasting.
Yo.
And Kyron... No, we're almost done. Kyron says from 2222 from the Mere Mortals podcast, he says, missed you guys. My Saturdays were lonelier without a doubt.
Aww.
We missed you too.
We missed you for sure.
And we've got a Boostergram. Here it is. The Delimiter, Comic Street Blogger, 33015. He says, howdy friends, Dave and Adam. I'd like to recommend shows and podcasts of Bandrew. He has the most renowned and extensive YouTube channel for microphone reviews, which you can find at www.youtube.com/podcastage. Additionally, he hosts a personal podcast at www.bandrewsays.com. If you need comprehensive information about all microphones, I encourage you to watch Bandrew's YouTube channels. You'll be pleased to know that these are also available as audio-only podcasts with RSS. Yo, CSB.
Thank you, Comic Strip Blogger. And thank you for always promoting Podcasting 2.0 and promoting all the other podcasts and getting Jeff Smith into it. I mean, what a valuable human being you are. We think you're a human being. You might be an android.
I just saw in my email, since I had to open it to read the boost, we got a late 12:35 p.m., PayPal, $100.
Woo!
One timer from Oyston Oosteenberg.
Oh, Oosteenbergen. Yeah. Oosteenbergen. Yeah. I think he's Dutch. I think so. Okay. Yeah.
You know Oosteen?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's been around for sure. And I just saw Sir Brian of London with the Israeli Freedom Boost, 19,480.
Oh,
okay, been a long, lonely, long time. Yeah, okay.
We get your Zeppelin reference
for sure.
Well, thank you, Austin. I'm so glad that I opened the email because we would have missed you until next week.
So even though we didn't get to even half of your list, I think everyone enjoyed your story about the Roadcaster. I certainly did.
Sorry to waste so much time.
No. We didn't waste a second. No, not a second was wasted. Not at all.
I'm hurt in my heart because I wanted this to be a humongous reveal in like Dave's got a Roadcaster, but it just wouldn't work.
You're gonna get it working. You know, let's think positive.
The Roadcaster Pro. Two, let's go.
Come on, think positive. Think positive. It's gonna work.
I love that guy.
we should have him on the show.
We should have him on the show. He can tell me how to reset it.
Yes. So the dog actually has stomach issues. So I'm going to, okay. I'm going to get out. I got to take her outside so she can squirt. And then I'm taking her to the vet. I believe me, she kept getting up. I'm like, no, just calm down. You're good. No, don't get up.
Keep it in, squeeze it.
So I'll probably, won't have the show posted until around 4 o'clock. Just so everyone knows. Cause people are like so used to me posting it right away. So I got to take her out and then get her to the vet.
Isobot.
What is Isobot?
I have to take her out so she doesn't squirt.
We're not using that, Boobery. We are not using that as an ISO.
Of course it was Boobery that did that because he's got the dirtiest mind on the planet.
Well, the problem is the Isobot takes too long. Hold on, let me see. I think I actually have the ISO. Let me see. If we can get, there it is. Okay, let's see. Let's see if I can get you. So I'm going to I'm gonna get out. I got to take her outside so she can squirt. It's hard to ISO.
Yeah, it's too much.
We'll use that for next time, Boobery.
Yeah.
Yeah, because
we get ISOs.
There's nothing like an ISO squirt. I mean, it's like. Dave, brother, it's good to be back with you, man.
Yeah.
And
I'm glad you remembered my number.
Oh, you are so mean. So unnecessary. All right, everybody. We'll be back next week with another board meeting. Dave, have a great weekend, my brother.
You too, man.
Take care, everybody. Thank you, chat room.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting!
That is a beautiful piece of technology.
Boost!